I'd like to share a few verses that I read. It's been a few days back, but they really meant a lot to me. I'd like to look in the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. In the 14th verse of Luke, the 4th chapter, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?' And he said unto them, 'You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up, and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." I read those verses and I asked, you know, it's quite a change. It says, they wondered at the gracious words that came out of his mouth, and then it just all changed. Why did Jesus say what he said? Why didn't he just end it with the first part when they thought that the gracious words proceeded out of his mouth? Now, first of all, he's saying that a prophet wasn't accepted in his own country, and they were saying, Is not this Joseph's son? Don't we know his mother, Mary? Don't we know his brothers and his sisters? So there's something about familiarity that can hinder us in our life. There's something about being acquainted with and being fully familiar with that it hinders our faith. He goes on, he says, he mentions the famine that was in back then, 3 years and 6 months. And he brings the thought that only one, Elijah was only sent to one. And she was not an Israelite. And he says there were many lepers in the day of Naaman, Elisha's, the prophet, and there was only one that was healed, Naaman, and he was not an Israelite. Why did he say this in a Jewish synagogue? It says they were filled with wrath. They took him out of the city. They were going to... I believe Jesus had a purpose, but I want us to look at another account, Matthew, the 15th chapter, the Gospel of Matthew, the 15th chapter, and I'd like to read starting at the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. That almost sounds like the same place the widow was, Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. In other words, it was annoying. She was bothering them, annoying them. Send her away. And Jesus didn't answer her a word. In verse 24, he said, he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that's a true statement. That was true. He was sent. His main ministry was to the Israelites. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he power to become the sons of God. In verse 25 it says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now after saying Jesus was not sent to help her, basically what he was saying, I'm sent to the lost sheep, which gives no hope to this woman that has this great need. But her response was so much different than that of Nazareth. When he made that statement, she came closer and fell down and worshiped him. Lord, help me. At Nazareth, basically the same thing was being said and done. But this woman had something different in her heart. And then he goes on and says in verse 26, he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That's Jesus. That's our Lord and Savior. That's what he said. basically calling her a dog. Her response was completely different. She said, "Truth, Lord." She accepted it. In other words, "I am not worthy. I am not worthy of your blessing, of your help." This response is so much different than what he got when he spoke those words at Nazareth. Did Jesus want to help this lady? He sure did. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. There was something about, she had a humble, needy spirit. To me, when she acknowledged being a dog that was saying, "I don't deserve it." Pride is the opposite. Pride says, "I deserve this." Pride says, I earned this. You owe this to me. Humility and faith. You can hook humility and faith and unbelief and pride together. Humility and faith. There's something about faith that there is an ingredient of humility. And Jesus commended her. He said, "Great. Great is thy faith." Most people would have walked off disgusted. Most people would have walked off offended. There's another, when it's talking about that account at Nazareth in one of the other Gospels, I believe it's John, it said, they were offended in him. The people at Nazareth were offended in Jesus. And it was their pride. It was their pride. And they didn't see it. They didn't know it. Another account I want to read is Matthew, the 8th chapter. We have another account. Matthew, the 8th chapter and the 5th verse, it said, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." We see some of the same ingredients in this account as with the account of the woman. He's saying, "I'm not worthy that you would come under my roof. Just say the word." He said, "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to this man, come, and he cometh, And to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Did Jesus not like the Israelites? Did he not like the Jews to make statements that would... I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. I believe the Lord will honor faith wherever He sees it. He will not... The Lord doesn't... And you think about Naaman. When Naaman heard... The story of Naaman is this. He was a soldier. He was actually a commander. He was over people, but he had leprosy. And this little servant girl said, Well, if you were in Israel, there's a prophet there, you could be healed. And so he makes this great effort. He plans this trip on the word of this servant girl. He wants to go and see this prophet. He wants to be cured. And he puts forth an effort. He is seeking to do it. But when he gets there, while he's on the way, his mind is working on how God is going to accomplish this. And the prophet doesn't come down to see him. He just tells him, Go dip yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman is enraged. Why? Why is he mad? His pride is being offended. He said, Are not there rivers where I came from that are much better than the Jordan River? And he would have went away unhealed had his servant, he had a wise servant, reasoned with him. He said, If he would have asked you to do a great thing, would you have done it? And then how much less than here's the Jordan. How much less than just go dip in the Jordan? So he finally went and he dipped in the Jordan 7 times like Elijah told him to. He obeyed. He humbled his heart. He accepted it and he obeyed and God blessed him. He could have went away in a rage. I'm going to say the Lord will not cater to pride and to arrogancy and to big ideas sometimes that we get in our minds. The Lord is not going to cater. And I can see this so well in the story of Naaman. It wasn't that God didn't want to heal. But He wasn't going to heal Naaman in Naaman's way, on Naaman's terms. You know, sometimes our pride can stand in our way. It can be a hindrance to us. I look back in my younger years. Now, and I see places of pride, places of self-righteousness that I had. The way I viewed others that didn't see things quite like I did. The way I valued them when they didn't agree with what I thought. I didn't see my pride back then like I do now. Who knows, I may have more pride that God wants to purge out of me that I don't see. But the Lord wants to. He wants to work. He wants to help. But it's not going to be on our terms. It's going to be on His terms. I believe Jesus spoke those words at Nazareth because He was speaking against their pride and their arrogancy. That's what caused them to respond the way they responded. That's what caused them to be offended. It was because of their pride. And the Lord said those things to get them to think, what is He talking about? If they only would have stopped and thought, why is He saying this? What is He talking about? But their wrath was so kindled. They just wanted to get rid of Him. Get rid of this guy. Nazareth already had a reputation. There's a scripture in Isaiah 53 that says, He shall grow up before them as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. That's what Jesus was growing up in Nazareth. That was a dry, parched place, spiritually speaking. There was no spirituality to conduce his relationship or what he got from God. It was his relationship with his father that brought his... It wasn't Nazareth. When they came to Nathanael and they asked, he said, come and see who Moses and the prophets talked about, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can any good come out of Nazareth? They were blinded by their own pride. You know, I think about that book I read, Sister Lisa loaned me on the Titanic. There was the thought behind the building of the Titanic that it was going to be an unsinkable ship. And there was articles put out, unsinkable. One of the crewmen mentioned, while they were loading up the stuff, oh, God Himself couldn't sink this ship. What is that? They had five warnings that evening that there were icebergs in the area. 5 different warnings. And it was full speed ahead. Wasn't slowed down. Maybe we better re-examine this. Maybe we need to rethink about this. No. No rethinking. Not even the thought. Full speed. They weren't going full speed. It was just a little under full speed. But there was no hesitation. 5 different warnings. And they went right on by. You know, sometimes our pride keeps us from seeing things that God puts in our path to help us see or help us to recognize, and we can just go right on by. Our pride can cause us. They had, and we read different places, John the Baptist started out telling them, don't say within your heart, we're Abraham's seed. Abraham's our father. He said, God is able to raise up seed unto Abraham from these stones. In other words, that's not cutting it. That's your Abraham's seed. And that's what they said. That's what they were. Oh, we're Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage. Once again, that was their pride that kept them from being able to receive what God had for them. God had it there for them. God was there for them, but their pride kept them from receiving what God had. Lord, help us. Help us today to be able to humble like this woman, to have that heart and that spirit. I don't believe I deserve anything from God. I don't feel like I've earned. But we come to Him through Christ, through His great mercy. That's all we have. And that's all we want to plead out for. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy on us. In Romans, the 11th chapter, I'll get that in closing. Romans 11. In verse 13, Romans chapter 11, verse 13, it says, 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, he said, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. I'm sure the Jewish people didn't appreciate him saying, I'm going to the Gentiles. In fact, one time they were thrusting him out of the city, and he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm sure they didn't appreciate that, but it said to provoke to emulation. And I looked that up. to stimulate alongside, excite to rivalry, provoke to jealousy. It's kind of like a little jar, you know, it's to kind of spur us a jar. And I believe that's what Jesus did there at Nazareth. I mean, that was a powder keg. And he lit it. But it was to save some. Maybe after things cooled down, maybe they thought, maybe some of them thought, my behavior was very unbecoming. Something's not right here. maybe they thought more about all the things that had transpired. Jesus wasn't just trying to set them off. He was trying to provoke them to jealousy, to jar them, and to get them to think and consider. Anyway, these thoughts have been a challenge to me, and I'm praying, Lord, if I've got more pride, help me to see. It takes the Lord to help us to see ourselves. Appreciate your attention this morning.